It's 3rd of January. I now have a short vacation. I got the opportunity to go home and spend a few days with family and friends. Yesterday, we organized a trip around the outskirts of Kyiv, through both towns near the capital that were occupied or destroyed by Russian troops in the first days of the war. Now, these towns are also objects of cultural significance. A few months ago, the artist Banksy drove through these places and left about half a dozen of his drawings on houses destroyed by the Russians. We visited all the ruins on which Banksy worked, looked at all his works. They are very different, but united by a common idea, the idea of the victory of the weak over the strong, the idea of the invincibility of the free spirit in the face of even mortal danger. These are good works. They are really very strong, but the ruins themselves make a much stronger impression. Dozens of residential multi-story buildings destroyed by artillery fire or air bombs. Most of these houses were destroyed not even in the first days, but in the first hours of a full-scale Russian invasion. There was no military sense in this destruction. There were no Ukrainian soldiers or officers. There were no headquarters or weapons depots. Russian bombs fell on ordinary residential buildings in which there were unarmed civilians. It was a conscious bet of Russia. By destroying residential buildings, the Russians demonstrated their strength and readiness to take the most wild and bloody measures in order to achieve their result, the subjugation of Ukraine. They were sure that their immense cruelty would simply break the will to resist those who wouldn't accept the Russian occupation. Moreover, apparently the Russians did not believe that there would be many of those who would oppose them. They were sure that the Ukrainians would be happy to be occupied by the Russians. On the eve of the beginning of the invasion, the employees of the Russian consulate were not even evacuated from Kharkiv. In Moscow, they believed that the city would not resist the invaders, that they would enter Kharkiv on a victorious march, and the consulate employees would become employees of the occupation government on the evening of the very first day of the invasion. There was no plan B, no instructions in case the invasion went according to a different scenario. The Russians did not have anything. Only a bet on terror and the expectation that the Ukrainians will not resist. You know, I read quite a lot of books and articles about modern wars and constantly compare what is happening in our country with our conflicts. Take, for example, the American invasion of Afghanistan. The Americans had several different plans for fighting there. Moreover, plans that were quite flexible and implied the ability to switch from one to another in short periods of time. The Americans had the most modern weapons and the most advanced technology. They spent $1 trillion on the war in Afghanistan. And what is the result? The Taliban, for the sake of whose destruction the invasion began, are back in power and again doing what they want. Russia no longer has any plan of action. There is not even clear war goals. Money is getting smaller every day. The Russians are already fighting with tanks from the 60s and howitzers from the 40s. Their bulletproof vests and helmets are made of garbage. Their canned food is several years out of date. The command treats its own soldiers like cannon fodder. Russians kill and die for no reason at all, for some idiotic ambitions of an old man who has gone out of his mind and decided to write his name in the history books at all costs. The invaders are waiting for death, captivity, or injury. And one more thing, shame, eternal shame with which everyone who takes up arms with the aim of seizing someone else's land and killing the rightful owners of this land will cover him or herself. The American adventure in Afghanistan will look like a triumph against the backdrop of an inevitable shameful outcome of the Russian invasion of Ukraine. This is the first episode of the podcast this year. The project continues only thanks to my listeners, and I want in my turn to thank each of you, everyone who listens to me, everyone who, like Linda, sends me letters of support, everyone who believes in the victory of Ukraine. I hope this year will bring us only good news.